musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it to the 4th of July weekend. You've made it to the show that puts the rock in Rockets Red Glare. We are World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your poet extraordinaire, J. Todd Underhill. On my left-hand side, he is the co-host with the most, Michael Amade.
That almost rhymed. It almost worked out.
Yeah.
Yes.
JT, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All you right. Seem a little off tonight.
Well, it's been a weird week.
What's going on? Is there something you want to share with everybody?
No, I think I'm all right. I just,
you sure?
Yeah, I only worked.
You don't want to explain that hat?
No, not yet.
All right.
We'll bring that up later.
On his left-hand side, he is the technical producer with skill beyond skill. He is the Half Squatch, JT.
Good evening, all.
So, what we do here is we do poetry. We have several ways you can support our show. A couple of ways, actually. Check out our store. If you want to buy something, and who doesn't, we have an Amazon store. You don't pay any more for the product. We just get a small kickback for referring you to the products that we know you want to buy anyway. And if you don't want to buy anything, that's fine. Just go ahead and click the donation box. You can do a recurring subscription, or you can do a one-time donation. You know, God's watching you. So the bigger the donation, the better off it's going to be. I'm totally kidding.
Really?
God is. Yeah. But he is watching.
He is watching. He knows all. Kind of like Santa. You've never seen God and Santa Claus in the same spot. I wonder.
Well, if you really want to get technical.
All right.
Don't spoil it.
All right.
I'm just going to say I personally, with my eyes, have not seen either.
That's a good point.
That's because they both live at the North Pole.
Maybe they're just those people who appear right as I close my eyes, and the moment I open my eyes, they're gone again.
There you go.
That happens.
All right, so what we want from you is we want poetry. We want it free of the magical F-bomb. We want it free of any hate speech. We want it, your best poem, 1 to 3 minutes long. And we would say original callers, but everybody's original. Call us now if you want to share your poetry, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766, and we're working on the volume.
And you can also use Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic for better clarity. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, we have poetry for you, poetic justice. And we've got five of the best lined up for you. Right now, we're going to go to our first caller. Please welcome. We're fighting some technical issues.
Well, sort of.
All right.
One caller I need to take live.
So. That's right. We're going to take it. We're going to do it live. But right now we're going to go to Boston from California. Boston, are you with us?
Now I can hear you. Yay.
Yeah, I can hear you too.
Cool.
All right. Okay. Welcome aboard. Hello. World Poetry Open Mic. You get to lead the way tonight.
All right. Well, I want to start with one that Philip had suggested. It's by Robert Lowell, and it's called Memories of West Street and Lepke.
All right.
So I'm going to get on my man voice. Only teaching on Tuesdays, book warming and pajamas fresh from the washer each morning. I hog a whole house on Boston's hardly passionate Marlboro Street, where even the man scavenging filth in the back alley trash cans has two children, a beach wagon, a helpmate, and is a young Republican. I have a 9-month daughter, young enough to be my granddaughter. Like the sun, she rises in her flame flamingo infant's wear. These are the tranquilized 50s, and I am 40. Ought I to regret my sea time? I was a fire-breathing Catholic CO and made my manic statement, telling off the state and president, and then sat waiting sentence in the bullpen besides a Negro boy with curly cues of marijuana in his hair. Given a year, I walked on the roof of West Street Jail, a short enclosure like my school soccer court, and saw the Hudson River once a day. Through sooty clothesline entanglements and bleaching cocky tenements, strolling I yammered metaphysics with Abramowitz, a jaundiced yellow, and yet it's really tan, a flyway pacifist, so vegetarian. He wore rope shoes and preferred fallen fruit. He tried to convert Vioff and Brown, the Hollywood pimps to his diet, hairy, muscular suburban, wearing chocolate double-breasted suits. They blew their tops and beat him black and blue. I was so out of things, I'd never heard of the Jehovah's Witness. Are you a CO, I asked the fellow jailbird. No, he answered, I'm a JW. He taught me the hospital tuck and pointed out the T-shirt back of Murder Incorporated Czar Lepke, there piling towels on a rack or dawdling off to his little segregated cell full of things forbidden to the common man, a portable radio, a dresser, a two toy American flags tied together with a ribbon of Easter palm. Flabby, bald, lobotomized, he drifted in a sheepish calm, where no agonizing reappraisal jarred his concentration on the electric chair, hanging like an oasis in his air of lost connections. End poem.
Very well done, Boston.
I like your man voice.
Yeah, your man voice is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Very manly.
It was quite manly.
I think I felt at least two or three hairs pop out of my chest when you were speaking. It just kind of brought the testosterone in the room ramped up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna bring on my sensuality later, so look out.
All right.
Oh yeah, we have that after dark thing going on tonight, don't we?
We're bringing the after dark.
This is gonna be my best, so look out.
That's what I always say, and I'm always disappointed.
No. This is the best. But wait.
All right.
Okay. Have fun.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks.
That was Boston on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. We're going to be taking this one live on the fly, as they so to speak. Slight phone problem. Dennis, you're going to want to call us now.
He's calling right now.
And Dennis, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, right. Glad we were able to get you back. Sorry about the error there.
Yeah, no problem.
So, rumor has it you've solidified some plans to come hang out with some crazy poet hosts in Colorado.
Yes, that's the plans, and I hope we can make them happen.
That's wonderful.
Beautiful. And you're going to be hanging out with Posick Fest, performing and doing...
I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. It'll be great to meet you.
We're looking forward to it, Dennis.
That will be mutual, for sure. Yeah, so happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy 4th of July weekend. How are you doing otherwise?
I'm doing real well. I don't have a 4th of July poem, but I haven't read any covers recently.
Okay.
And I would like to share a cover of a friend of World Poetry Open Mic. It's a cover by Raj Kumar. And the title of this poem is O Wind, A Mother's Prayer. O wind, can't you pass gently without making a noise? My child has fallen asleep. Please do not make a loud noise. Bring along smell of jasmine so in dreams he can rejoice. Why not pass through rivers, hills, and blow as a breeze cooling? When awake, he'll feel your touch as mother's hand brings healing. Let the river flow quiet. With soothed murmur, he can cling. Days are dark now, nights darker. With the stars blinking lightly, drones do fly through nightly sky and hit targets blindly, who can assure morning sun to glow again so brightly? Let the toxic air die down with rains pouring aplenty, green vegetation sprout out, oxygen, and make good scanty. Future of our child be safe. Let them breed no anxiety. End of poem. And that's a poem by Raj Kumar from Calcutta, India.
Very well written, Raj. Dennis, thank you for sharing his work on our show. I can't wait till you can get through on Skype and share some of his work, but I'm glad you're doing it for his proxy.
Yes, he is a friend of the program, and he's been having connection problems, but he's going to be in Singapore in July and August, and he thinks he'll have some better connections to get through.
Beautiful.
So until he does, we wish him the very best, and we keep him in our thoughts. He's a gifted poet, and we're glad he's part of the WPOM family.
Oh, yes. We're glad everybody's a part of the WPOM family. And thank
Absolutely.
You for supporting us as long as you have.
Thank you so much. I'll get off and let the next poet step up. And I'll close with my traditional God bless.
God bless you, my friend. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh, JT, how you doing, man?
He's working on his curveball.
Well, obviously. That's the thing where he's basically crawled underneath the studio, like the mixing desk, doing something, and he has to pop out and be like, oh, what's good?
They oh, said, yeah. In poem. I got to get busy.
yeah. There's so much work to do.
Yeah. All right. It's kind of like finally tuning a hot rod while the motor's running. That's what you're doing.
In a way, yeah. It is what he's doing.
All right. So, the next cylinder in this five-cylinder show we call A Segment. Please welcome Cindy Robinson. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Welcome back to our show.
Thank you very much.
What do you got for us?
I'm going to read a poem called The Silent Statue. She never said she would not beg. A forlorn figure huddled, pride smothering skin and bones, wrapped in designer garbage. Her chapped hands offering a cracked cup. She was always there, a human statue. A landmark crumpled atop a cardboard box. Annie. Orphan Annie, we called her that. She never knew she had a name. When we walked by, we never saw her. No one ever stopped except those who knew intimately her closest friend, the one who shared the bitter cold nights, whose low growl became a loud rumble, the voice of hunger echoing endlessly through hollow space. Silence, stunned, clung alone to the street corner today. Grief and gold newspaper-clad faces writing the L. Annie. Where's Annie? Have you seen Annie? Traveled desperately from seat to seat. Sorrow stared from disbelieving eyes. The same eyes that never saw her when they passed by. End of poem.
Very well done. Thank you for sharing with us. And are you going to be joining us for the After Dark segment?
Yes.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, Cindy.
All right. Have a good night.
You as well. That was Cindy on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice. That was a beautiful throw. I have to say. The way you pointed your feet right before you released the ball, and then it went flying backwards out of your hands into the pond.
Greg Maddux would be proud of you.
All those years he trained you. I think it's time now that you started showing those results.
There you go. All right. So we got 1, 2, 3. We're on caller 4, guys.
You excited about that?
Well, you know, she's a radio host in herself, and
that's
she's like,
right.
She's like calling our show, so let's down just bring
from
her on.
Down from Canada, the Wed Wiva flows.
Yes, please welcome Barbara. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to our show.
I'm so glad to be here.
We are glad to have you.
You really need to add a little bit to the volume.
I know, we're working on it.
Okay. I didn't write anything new this week because I was too excited from happy news.
Oh, what sort of happy news did you get?
My book, my e-book, After, is coming out in print.
What? How cool is that?
Yes. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. I just finished the galleys. I have to send it back to my publisher. And I realized when I was looking at the galleys for the e-book how really out of it I was because I found all of these grammatical errors. And, oh, God. My publisher's going to say, this is a galley. You're not supposed to be revising. And then I'll have to explain to her that I think my line editor was brain dead also because there's so many commas left out. But, you know, just anyway, I'm really excited. And
I'm excited for you. That's great news.
Yeah, I'm very excited because this is kind of grandizing, but when I went through the book the second time or the third or fifth or whatever, I really loved it.
Well, yeah, you should be proud of your writing. My wife's read them both.
She liked After. I'm really loving After. I felt like After wasn't as gripping as the first one, but when I read through the book and I read some of those scenes, I said, yeah, I like this book.
Yeah, my wife enjoyed them both. She told me what a great writer you were, and I was like, heck yes. We've got the best of the best calling our show.
Well, thank you. And now the book, I don't know if your daughter would be interested, but the book is coming out in print, and I know younger kids like to read in print. So,
well, yeah, I mean, pick that up for my daughter. So she's going through a thing where basically she goes to a lot of conventions. So reading, she should do it on a plane. Like this time she slept on a plane, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, books are good. Like I went to this writing thing last weekend, and I met this author she's a best-selling author, and her book is called Nowhere Girl.
I think I've heard of that one.
And she has another one called Night Blindness. And I went up to her, and I had no money whatsoever. And this is when I start to love people. I had no money whatsoever, but I wanted to invite her on the show because I thought she was fantastic with her presentation. And so I said, you know, I would really love to get a book, but I have no money, so can you send me one? You know, I'll send you back the money. She said, oh, no. And she hands me this paperback book and signs it, and she says, oh, don't worry about it. So, of course, I got home, I wrote her a check and sent it to her. But can you imagine she gave a complete stranger, her book?
That's awesome.
Without asking for money. I was like, I love this person.
people in general, no matter what walk of life, are great people. You know, no matter what you support. Yeah. I find good in everyone, I guess, is the best way to put that.
Right. So I have no new poem, but I am going to read the one I wrote for last year.
Except for the furries. They kind of disturbed me. Other than that. So do you have a poem for
us? What furries? What?
Nothing. What? It was a joke. Oh. But do you have a poem for us?
I do. I'm going to read one I wrote last year called Happy 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. Fireworks will fly into the sky with their chrysanthemum blossom stars and showers of glittering. Happy 4th of July. Fireworks will fly into the sky with their chrysanthemum blossom stars and showers of glittery sparkles, and the music will play grandiose Sousa tunes while we view splendid red, white, and blue displays to celebrate this day when independence was the dream and reality, when brave men inked their signatures on the document that would be our birth as freedom emerged, its delicate chrysalis still wet from the process. And we spread our wings, eager to fly, independent and sturdy, through centuries. And we gathered the needy, the ones running from poverty, and the ones who yearn for a life away from tyrant's whims that we promised with our words on that parchment. And we became a crazy colloid of people, rolling around in the freedom of their space, but governed by one ideal so huge it can at any moment catch hold and move us into a solid. When threatened, we come together like the elaborate white-on-white extravaganza at the end of the fireworks display, and we hold fast to protect this butterfly of freedom from the onslaught of intruders, both outside and within our borders. And
very well done. I think you read that for us last year, right?
Yeah, that's a poem from last year.
I like the fact that you mentioned the Sousa songs. I've been listening to a lot of Sousa for the last week. The music choice channel that I listen to for holidays start playing holiday music for 4th of July. And I can guarantee you this. I may not always listen to Sousa songs, but when I do, I'm sure the neighbors do as well. Because I crank that sucker all the way up.
I don't think you can listen to them quietly.
No, you can't.
Really?
So.
No. And always they remind me of 4th of July, you know. Da 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 da.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite well.
That's part of the fireworks display all the time, you know. They always put Sousa in. Anyway, I'm going to get off and.
That was great, Barbara. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So are we going to hear from you in the return engagement?
Hopefully.
All right.
I will try and cobble together a new poem. I don't know if I can.
Pull them, Orion. Just write a new one while the show's in progress.
There you go.
Absolutely, I can do that. I have one in my head. I just haven't been able to do it between the editing and the galley. So.
Fair enough. Well, Barbara, we're trying to move the segments along to get more people in and not have it take so long. So we're gonna move quickly.
Getting
but
off.
But yeah. We love you. Okay, we're not
I'm
doing it because of anything
air.
Else other than that. Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
I understand. Okay. We'll talk to you later, guys.
Talk to you soon. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. Barbara rocking that poem. I like that. I'm gonna do a cover for mine. This time.
Yeah.
One of two that I've got loaded up. Anyway. But before we can do that, please welcome from Missouri, he is Sinister Spittle. Hello, Sinister, are you with us?
Sinister, did you fall asleep?
Sinister?
All right, going once, going twice.
Sinister going three times.
Going three, going four, five, and...
All right. So, cool. Sinister, you can call back during the next segment. We're going to do a submission.
All right.
And then I'm going to do an original, and then we'll open up the phone lines again.
Sounds good. This one is from Alan Bain. This was submitted through...
Oh, yeah, Alan Bain. I like him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But this was submitted through our website or through worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. You can do that on the contact form, or you can just send it to the email there. Here we go. This is called Beautifully Broken. Have you ever been broken so bad? No matter what, you feel sad. And no matter what you do, the pain just shows through. Your heart is filled with pain, and the tears fall like rain. It's just a moment in time, and everything will be fine. Just let it all out. Go ahead and shout. The light will shine again and fill you within. This happens to us all, and we'll all must take a fall. And this is how we learn, and our life makes a turn.
Then the words can be spoken that we are beautifully broken. So let the pieces fall into place, and joy you will again taste, as light shines on the broken parts, and once again fills your hearts. And that was from R.A. Bain. That was called Beautifully Broken.
Alan, well written. Michael, well read.
Thank you. Well read.
Well read. Well read. Well read. Red
rum. Red rum.
Red rum.
Red rum.
Red rum.
Red red. Red red.
All right. So this poem is actually written by a poet named John Mitchum. I've only heard one rendition of it, and it's by somebody famous. I am not by any way covering this saying I'm as good as him. I'm saying that this poem was so well written that it always needs to be revisited around 4th of July. America, why I love her. You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time and I'll explain. Have you ever seen the Kansas sunset or the Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched a cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina pines, or heard the bellow of a diesel in the Appalachian mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear the waters roar? Do you look in awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore? Were men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock? And do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? Do you hail to the Columbia as she rushes to the sea, or bow your head at Gettysburg, at our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty terrors? Have you watched the eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you share in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast at the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her. I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky. And that was originally read by John Wayne.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At least the only rendition I've ever heard is by John Wayne. So I think every year they should do this. In fact, I might make this a tradition for our 4th of July show if you guys don't get bored with it.
Why not? We can record it and we can add some patriotic music in the background.
John Wayne's version was like that. And I was like, holy cow. Yeah, I might actually put that together. You know, I'm not doing anything better this weekend.
Well,
barbecue.
Well, shows what you think of the 4th of July.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm barbecuing a lot, but other than that.
You know what I do? I cook some meat and stand there.
Nothing
and
says America like charred animal flesh.
I cook some meat and I stare out at the horizon and I think about freedom. And that is what being an American is to me.
Here in America, we are free to choose ketchup or mustard, mayonnaise or relish.
All right. All kidding, obviously. Uh-huh. So don't take any of that seriously. All right.
All right. So now is the time. If you've not called our show yet, we want original callers. We're going to be opening up our second segment.
Sinister, call back.
240-9766.
Sorry about that. 720-2-
Sinister, call back.
I knew that. Okay. 720-240-9766.
Or you can call, use World Poetry Open Mic Skype ID, and you get better clarity.
Hey, guys. I hope that you're having a good show so far. Sorry that I'm not able to call in, but just so you know, I'm with you in spirit. I've decided to recite a poem that is at the moment untitled. So maybe after you hear it, you can give me suggestions as to a possible title, and you can let me know through Facebook. There was no time for contemplation. The way of the world had changed, as did our fate, when we found the worm and the apple we ate. In an act of desperation, we engaged ourselves in a new vocation. employing a skill as yet not innate, sewing fig leaves to cover our naked state, and hiding from each other in humiliation, as the four-legged serpent, filled with malice and guile, looked on our predicament with a forked tongue and a smile. And seeing the results match his intent, knew his efforts had been worth his while. Twilight descending brought a measure of dread. Fear and shame gripped us for what we had done, this dark deed we committed in the light of the sun. Expecting his words would strike us dead, we cowered before him, listening to what he said. He spoke to us each, one by one, his voice expressing grief over what we had done, as he let judgment fall upon our head. Oh, what mercy came with the judgment, a promise midst the wrath. Heel bruised women's seed would crush the serpent's head. And to punctuate what he meant, clothed us in skins from two lambs on the path, showing that to cover our shame, something must die in our stead. End of poem.
Well read, James.
Bravo!
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 All right.
It's like watching a hole-in-one.
It was. Maybe that's what he should title a poem, Hole-in-One.
Maybe we should publish an After Dark book called World Poetry Open Mic Hole-in-One.
Wow.
What? All of the stuff together in a hole. W-H-O-L-E.
Wordplay. Yes, I got it.
Yes, complete.
Wordplay.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So we do have five more callers lined up for you. So that fills up that segment, which means we get a third original segment. Please welcome on the line first. We haven't heard from him in a while. He's a close friend of the family. He is Tate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, my friend?
I'm good tonight.
Glad to have you on board again.
Thank you. You know, I haven't been writing of late, but I need to get back to it.
I would say I'm just a fan.
I didn't know what to read you tonight. I'm going to read you the poem that has given me the most grief. For 5 years, I have rewritten this poem 1,000 times. Right. tonight, I'm just, that's it. I'm done. It's finished.
Hit publish and be done with it. Move on.
Yeah. All right. So I'll read you this one. It's just called Old Man. The old gray man alone now attends to his dusty fields, watering the emptiness where the land no longer yields. He wove his web of fashions from the tears his pains had sprung, where once he sang of starlight back when both their hearts were young. Then came the winds a-calling. He turned to run, a-hoping sure, to reach where she was lying, sharing pains they'd both endure. The gales did blow around him precious memories he'd miss. Drops would fall upon his lips, those that hers would never kiss. Where grass and bending flowers grew together like the weeds, lie meadows all but barren for the lack of sowing seeds. The blushing, blowing poppies that once grew all round near fill the fields with memories of the love he once lost here. Each time he treads on his land, howling sou'west winds a-blow, not belonging feels the longing, mercy only God may know.
I'd say that's a complete piece of work.
That thing has given me more headaches than any poem I ever wrote.
Have you tried a Sistina? Because that will give you headaches too.
I don't know. I need to get back to writing. I just haven't done any in a while.
Well, I say try a Sistina. That'll give you headaches and get you back to writing.
I'm on a new beer tonight. I don't like alcohol much, but I found this beer. I don't know why, but it's called Monterey. I just love this stuff.
Hmm.
It's from Guatemala. I don't think it has as much alcohol in it as most beer. I can just kind of tell that. But the taste of it's better. I never liked alcohol. I don't know.
I'm trying to stay away from alcohol, but if I were to have a beer, Warsteiner. There you go.
Well, I hope everybody's good. Everybody's having a good weekend.
We are, definitely, Tate. And you made us so much better by calling in. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. I'll try and call you next week.
That'd be great. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Catch you later.
Talk to you later. That was Tate on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Great to have him back.
That was great. Hey, by the way, can I throw out something? Because he was talking about working on something. And, you know, I'm someone who believes that a lot of times the struggle you go through creating something's part of that process and how you deal with it. But he's right. After a while, you got to be like, all right, screw this. I'm moving through and doing it. I found this thing. Maybe people here know about it. Are you familiar with Brian Eno? Have I ever talked to you about him?
Once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, so he's a very famous ambient musician. And also,
if I remember our conversations correctly, short, too.
What?
He's a short guy. He's got a. Was that the DJ that's got to have a milk crate? Or we want to think of someone else?
No, you're right. Definitely not thinking about Brian Eno. He's not a DJ. At any rate, a best-selling ambient musician. He's become a big producer for a lot of bands, but he's actually a very clear thinker. And he put out this box of cards called Oblique Strategies, and they were all things like just ways to go about creativity when you're in a block. And I found a free app online in the Google Play Store called Oblique Strategies, and it's cool. Like, if you're having a problem, you go to the app, and here's a suggestion: emphasize the flaws.
Okay.
Right, so you could go through. Here's another one: instead of changing the thing, change the world around it. It's just different ways to come at what you're creating. And I've actually used things like this in the past. I have one for writers, but this is really great. So I wanted to mention this to anybody. This is a free app you can get called Oblique Strategies, and it's really useful.
Definitely check it out. Google Play Store
or iTunes Store, I'm sure.
Or iTunes or whatever. I do want to say, Annie, we dropped you. You're going to call back right after Phillips ends his poem, and we'll take you live on the air. Okay, Annie? But let's go ahead and just start our way down the list towards Philip. Please welcome from Missouri, making his second phone call, but first appearance, he is Sinister Spittle.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I had to take a call from my wife. The car got set on fire by random fireworks. So
what? Is she okay?
Frazzled. Huh?
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's all right. She was over at a friend's house. The window was down. They were shooting off fireworks, and one just happened to hit the car, and I had some paper towels in there I was cleaning the windows with, and they just randomly hit those.
So, I mean, I was going to say, you know, Sinister, we don't know what to say. You know, if something, you get a call like that, and you're not like, sorry, I got to read a poem, bye. You know,
I'm avoiding her phone calls right now. So.
Wow.
All right, let's hurry it up then so you can actually call her back. Yeah. All right.
All right, this is a premiere. I just wrote this out of six poems. I finally got one that was tangible. So it's called Quenching Fits and Desolace. Inch yourself to the edge of an abyss. Here, uncertainty is less than nuances. Whisper tangible nightmares that crawl on skin. Hairy spiders trekking shallow defenses. Amiss we are now in sunken parables of infancy, grasping shining moments when it was still fun. Lowly souls, once known vibrant vessels alive, now scurrying for fixes and day-old gutter bread. Let us engage in tragedies, clandestine whispered breath, uttering fallacy inside safe boxes he placed lies. Encumbered we in twilight's explosive fadings now tangled, black holes inverted into swollen setting suns. Drawn canopies once revered resemble tombs unattended, cast shattered iridescence of time left undone. Etch humanity's extinction with purple crayons and pink highlighters, board the sugar canes breaking from waves once home. Beyond incapacitated or found disemboweled amongst tattered curtains, strewn like tendons and webs of decrepit instances shown. Squint to capture the radiating potency brimming with forgotten chalices. Drink stout from blood of gods some used to know. Quench with it a fatuous presence that shows fallible shortcomings. Watch bleak isolation, ooze infection, and desolace tenfold. End poem.
Rock on, Smith.
I know. Sinister, you're so popular, you've got people calling you in the middle of your poem. They're like, we're hearing them on the radio.
They're like, this poem and this car is on fire.
This poet's on fire.
Sorry, man. Not trying to make light of anything there, buddy.
hey, everything's all right, so you got to make light of it, you know. Life is too damn short and catches up with you.
That is the truth.
Gives you a reason to remember what you got, so that's all good. All right, well, hopefully I'll catch you guys later.
All right, sounds good.
Hopefully we catch you during the return engagement.
All right, bye.
That was Sinister on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Heck yes.
Boom. Now, you know what I love about this show?
What?
We get new callers. We get international callers. Sometimes we get international callers from another country in another country that's not this country calling us.
That's new.
That's new.
Like Lausanne from British Columbia. Lausanne, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to our show. We have the same question we ask all of our new callers. How did you hear about World Poetry Open Mic?
Facebook.
Of course. And
the Book of the Face.
The Book of the Face. And you, you've made friends with other Vancouver poets since finding us on Facebook, correct?
That's right. World Poetry Canada, World Poetry International, or the International World Poetry, the one they have in Ariadne Sawyer runs the page. I found out through her page about you.
Yeah, wonderful. That's awesome. She's great, mm-hmm. too.
She is, yeah. And thank you for having me. I'm very happy I'm on your show today.
Well, I'm happy you're with us. Do you have something special you're going to share with us?
Yes. In preparation for my first poetry book coming out in this fall, I'm going to share a poem called Immortal Refugee.
All right.
Okay, so can I start now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You cannot kill me because I am dying every day. Can you not see it in the news? I am counted, declared collateral damage, and most time not mentioned at all. I am forgotten soon after the memorable, brilliantly color commercial breaks. You cannot make me bleed again. I have no blood left in me. My innocent blood blanketing streets like wet sidewalks after the rain. You cannot stab my flesh. It's withering away from hunger and thirst, cold and heat, waiting at your fenced army guarded borders. Even my unborn child didn't want to breathe the cold, cruel air I breathe. You cannot cut my skin. It's already cut up, divided, stretched to its limit to every corner of this earth. You cannot suffocate me. I have already drowned, washed up on shores, and eaten by sea creatures. I no longer need my flotation device or my boat. My flotation jacket is washed up on shores, and my boat sank to the bottom of deep sea. I do not breathe air anymore, so you cannot suffocate me. You cannot break my bones. Who's able to break bones buried in mass graves, graves that may never be discovered? You cannot make me cry. My tears have overflown and flooded land, hoping it will heal, but it was never enough. I no longer cry. You cannot crush my spirit, for it's eternally wandering, searching, searching for that peace and security everybody's talking about, searching for God, the promise to neither leave nor forsake me. You cannot kill me because poets of the world know about me. End of poem.
Hell yes.
Way to bring it. Lausanne, I am excited for your book. When it comes out, I would love to see where I could get it. Get me a copy.
Absolutely. I'll stay in touch. I'm connected on Facebook with you guys, and I'm logged on already with your... I signed up, so it's all good.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much, Lausanne.
No worries. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Great job.
That was Lausanne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Boom.
Hey.
Laying it down from British Columbia.
Hey, they always seem to lay it down from British Columbia. Hey, speaking of that, I don't know if she wants anybody to know. We should probably not release the news until she wants to release the news. Can I just throw out something about Posick Fest?
Yeah.
All right, so we're doing Posick Fest again this September. We have poets from this show that you know, including an international poet, flying into Denver for Posick Fest.
Is that not the coolest thing ever?
We have more than one.
What?
So here is my challenge to anybody who's listening here. Get off your ass and figure out how to get here for Posick Fest, because instead of in the night before, we're not doing the show, but we're all going to go out to dinner together. We're all going to show you some of the great poetry landmarks. We're going to hang out and have a great time. And the next day, we're going to do the show.
Are we going to take him down that alley that I first?
No, one wants to see where that happened,
never
man.
Never mind.
No, people hate that story.
You said poetic landmarks.
People hate that story.
All right.
It's creepy.
All right.
Okay. But we are going to go to Mercury Cafe.
Mercury Cafe.
We're going to go to
their Friday night open mic. Actually.
That's right. And then we're going to go to Charlie Brown's, where Kerouac, Ginsberg, all those guys lived above and used to go hang out.
Yeah.
We're going to do all that stuff. It's going to be a great time. So if you can get here for Posick Fest and come perform with us and come hang out with us, it's like a big family reunion in a real way, and we would love it for you.
Yes. So book your trip now. September 17th is when Posick Fest is happening. You can fly in the Thursday before, leave that Tuesday. You save a little bit on airfare. It's all good in the neighborhood.
That's right.
All right. So we do have another caller on the line. Maybe he'll book his trip to Colorado, too. Mm-hmm. He is Philip.
Hello, fellows.
Hello. I didn't realize
this is the wrong segment, man. This is not that alleyway. Be cool.
All right.
I was trying to, enunciate correctly. The rain in Spain falls mainly in the plains, that kind of thing.
It's funny. Every time I try to say that, it just comes across like, among was it good, it may be called the plain. It just doesn't work.
I've got rotten potatoes.
I literally can't speak with proper diction anytime someone asks me to. It turns out I'm just a rebel.
Hey, good for you, sir. I know you're at least a rebel on a treadmill, according to one of your posts.
Yes. So. Oh, I hate treadmills, man.
Right? You feel like a rat?
You know what's funny? Yeah, exactly. I'm running. I'm like, I'm getting nowhere. I'm practicing running away from my problems. That's not working. My brain starts over. I have to put a towel over the timer because I can't see a clock. Because if I see a clock, I'm going to be like, I'm wasting my life. I can't do it. Yeah, so so I say screw it and sit on a bike and read.
I hear you. Well, and as an ex-athlete and being somewhat serious, I highly recommend a rowing machine wherever you work out.
Those are great, man, aren't they?
They really are. Yeah. I mean, you will burn so many calories in such a short period of time. But
I think that's a great recommendation, man. Great recommendation.
Hey. It'll give you great latissimus dorsi muscles.
And that's really what I'm there for, is latissimus dorsi, Yeah.
And other Latin muscles and so forth.
I'm there for long muscles, hard muscles. That's really my whole work.
Oh, wow. We're definitely getting warmed up for the after dark. I'm getting as we speak. I don't know if I ever get through this form.
I do the rowing machine for my dorsal fin. That really, it really helps there. I can feel it in my cornea and my lats.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah. You'll be mistaken for a swimmer.
And that's the only time that'll ever happen. They'll be like, seriously, you're a swimmer, man. You got to shave.
Right. That's true. I mean, it is still true, But, being an old swimmer, there are many times I would shave my legs. And, boy, that's hard to explain in middle school, let me tell you. What is wrong with you?
I got asked that question a lot in middle school, too, but it wasn't because of the legs. But anyway, I digress.
Well, your secret's safe with me.
And everybody else listening to the show, yes.
I know, right, and everybody else. I'll get
thing.
To it because I know you have many other poets wanting to call in, et cetera, et cetera. So yet again, a huge title and maybe, some lines that will follow that are worthwhile. We'll see. All right, here we go. Broken lines presented as dramatic evidence, my fecund imagination has a run amok and its Baroque associations by moving counterintuitively backward in an attempt at leaping ahead of the much lauded, swift-footed avant-garde. And here we go. Contradictions abound. Irregular stones hurled across lunar-reflected gulfs, separating miasmal insanity from self, the eye ogling back at its antithetical ogre opposite, immeasurable distances discerned as symbols, psyche shards jangling about one's mausoleum headspace where echoes multiply into past tense, frenzied wing beats scattered across stark skies, flown from mimetic clock towers tolling darkened witching hours and copper bell gothic belfries alike. resonant beneath Orion's ornamental orient belt, left behind like triad stellar wishing coins tossed by gods into the soul well firmament. Dilapidated stages inherited from Grecian stones, draped anew in calcium and cotton candy, pink phosphorescence, bubbled above phantasmagoric dystopias, housing the homeless bedraggled, reluctant, recalcitrant players, born in heel-kicking stubbornness. From your Oedematous subconsciousness swelled just so it evokes Oedipus and his secret incestuous images who carry on, costumed contumely in bedraggled contretemps about how they each begat, going all the way back to Jocasta's still aging tragic romance Tiresias forewarned once with grave caveat. Impressions of an unknown eye, that is a mask most grandiose, the one who shortchanged a few euphemisms and stole from Prometheus no less, observes with refrained applauses for those procreative miscreants who gave little or no forethought to the ongoing charade. This cabal hedged among monkey gamblers of mall heritage, lounging and losing petty antes of dull harumps and feigned rationality, though occasionally entreating intrigue with their unexpected arabesque oratory lilting lightly aloft the hordes and the topiary wealthy. Yet patiently amidst the chorus discord, a lone Blake-influenced voice, perhaps an Antigone descendant, calls solemnly from the vast black backdrop, stoically reiterating, witness infinity cradled in a single grain of sand, spiraling down like heavenly bodies in freefall orbit around a cosmic hourglass whose dual aurora glossy bulbs resemble a figure eight drawn sideways. Eternity received in these blossomed poppies that come and go and fade, wreathed in brilliant flames until passion itself chars behind burned out eyes. There you go, fellers.
Mesmerized by every single word.
Thank you about that, sir. I think I stumbled a bit, but, you know, I did my best to cover up my mistakes. So,
you could not tell. It was very well done, my friend.
I appreciate that, J. Todd. Man, thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward to the next poets and the return engagement and After Dark. It's a big night.
All of it. It is a engorged night of world poetry at the mic.
Just in time for the fireworks.
There you go.
All right, cheers, fellas. Thanks.
Thank you, my friend. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh, hey, JT, check this out. It's my baseball trick. Impressive, no?
Those kegels are paying off for you.
Oh, man, I know. It's kegel time every time.
My version. I don't know how you threw a screwball using your kegels.
Yeah, see,
hey.
That's the thing, though. My hammer time has now been renamed kegel time.
Stop. Kegel time. Anyway. So, Annie, you're going to want to call back right now. We can take you live on the air. We know you dropped. I'm sorry that you dropped. Call us back right now.
I don't know. I don't know if she's...
Do you want to do a submission while we...
Yeah, let me do a submission. If she does call back in...
All right.
Let's do it. This one is from Bridget Oakes.
I hide my face behind many masks, too afraid to let people in, to let them see. All my fears, pain, and insecurities. I try to bear it all. And never give in. But my mask is cracking. Who out there would love me if they saw past the mask? If I let them fully in? Wouldn't they just turn their backs? Like all the others before, my lovers, family, and who I thought were friends, what is it about the true me that scares you all so bad? Is it my honest thoughts spoken? my darkened heart that gets revealed? Or is it because you fear seeing your true self in me?
That's from Bridget Oakes, submitted at worldpoetryopenmic.net in the contact form, or worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com.
So if you want to submit, go to those two places. You know, while you were doing your the submission,
yeah.
I've never seen someone do a exorcism on a computer before, but our technical producer was sprinkling pink Himalayan salt around his computer while chanting something and lighting incense and candles around it. I don't know if the spirits are gone or not.
No, that's because we just got some security camera footage of you in that alley.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm going to read it. I'll do another cover. How about that?
Okay.
Just got to get my tablet to cooperate. You guys might know who wrote this one, too.
Really?
Once I start into it. Yeah, and if not, I'll tell you guys afterwards.
Sweet.
This is entitled Song of the Patriot. I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. I love mom and apple pie and freedoms that we all enjoy across this beautiful land. I worked hard and I fight hard for the old red, white, and blue. I'll die a whole lot harder if it comes to where I have to. I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. And when I see old glory waving, I think of all the brave men who have fought and died for what is right and wrong. And when I see old glory burning, my blood begins to churning, and I could do some fighting of my own. I don't believe in violence. I am a God-fearing man. But I'd stand up for my country just as long as I can stand, because I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. Yeah, I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. I enjoy the liberty of being what I want to be and achieving any goals that I can. I was taught to turn the other cheek, but Teddy used to say, walk soft and pack a big stick, but never walk away. I'm a flag-waving, patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. Yeah, when I see old glory waving, I think of all the brave men who'd fought and died for what is right and wrong. And when I see old glory burning, my blood begins to churning, and I could do some fighting of my own. Because I love all my brothers, and we're proud of our group. We got the greatest country here on God's green earth, and I'm a flag-waving patriotic of my Uncle Sam. I'm a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man.
Nice.
That was Johnny Cash.
That definitely had the Johnny Cash flow to it.
Does it? Johnny was a man. I always felt, you know, you listen to these radio shows, there's like a specific show just for the Beatles. There's a specific show just for Elvis Presley. Cash was that. They should put out just a weekly syndicated show for just Johnny Cash.
You mean a radio show or what?
Yeah, radio show.
Oh, I'm sure it exists radio. Somewhere.
It may. I don't know. But he was that talented and that prolific of a writer. Well, and performer.
He didn't write a whole lot. A lot of other people wrote things for him, too. He was a great performer and a great, yeah.
Danzig wrote him a song at one point in time. Anyway, we're not going to go into that. Danzig's suing everybody.
You know, but then again, he was also a master as a performer of taking a song someone else wrote and making it his own.
That's
Hurt
true.
Being the overwhelmingly popular version.
I Won't Back Down, his rendition of that.
Oh, man, Personal Jesus?
Yeah.
Man.
Johnny Cash is a man.
And props to Rick Rubin for getting him later in his career and having him end it on that high note.
It's beautiful. All right, so that segment was filled. We get another segment of all unique, original callers. So if you've not called our show yet, now is the time. 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
You could always use Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom, we're saying that's what she said. Whoa. Jokes all night.
My gosh, long. That was the fastest nose blow I've done in a long time.
Since that party they had it up in Aspen. Anyway,
that didn't happen. Whatever you've heard, that party did not happen.
All right.
I have proof because both Perry Farrell and myself are still alive.
There you go. All right. So we got one caller, which triggers The return engagement.
Engagement.
I have a dream of a return engagement.
Engagement. All right.
Yeah.
That was an epic failure. All right. So let's go ahead and go to that one caller. And I'm not going to do a poem. We'll let Michael do a submission if he'd like.
Yeah.
And please welcome back Don. Don, are you with us?
All right. So let's go ahead and go to that.
Am I engaged?
You're not engaged yet. You are the last of the originals, my friend.
I didn't even get a ring.
Yeah.
Our phone rang four times. You got a ring.
Ring a ding ding.
You're not engaged.
Hello. You're going to want to turn down your listening device. I'm getting feedback.
Okay.
Our phone rang four times. You got a ring.
So here I am, and I cannot hear you.
Ring the ding ding.
So this is what I'm going to do. Hello. I'm going to hope
turn down your listening device.
That this poem comes across.
Okay.
It's called The Chair of Cain, and it's spelled C-A-N-E. And it's the type of chair that you can use to torture a prisoner.
This poem comes across.
Chair of Cain.
It's called The Chair of Cain.
When you bend, wrap, or weave my body parts,
and it's
in, out, or through a cane back chair. I practice tricking you with breaks in my bones, tears in my skin, and bits of broken spit out teeth. As the freshest of the newly killed, I thank you by rising up from the dead to march in through the front door of your strongest strongholds, marshaling neither steel nor bamboo, but singing old Greek words to Theodorakis's tomb. Pain drips from the bladder of my politics. Death occupies but the atmosphere to be blown away by the crown of night-soiled weapons. I kiss the icon of the house, then mist in mid-air, and am upheld by the mysterious majesty of the home at peace.
I kiss the icon of the house.
Very well done, Don. I've got to say that is the interesting spoken word arts piece ever done on the show.
It was the feedback controlled a little bit?
No, and it was almost enough to induce a flashback for me. It was really intense, actually.
I apologize.
Don't apologize. That was great. I'm sitting there going, I'm about to lose my stuff.
Well, we were listening to it. And we could still hear what you were doing, but then the feedback was coming through, and partway through, I said, this is actually a pretty interesting spoken word art piece.
As art goes, that was fabulous, Don.
That was great. I'm about to lose my stuff.
Well, we were listening to it. We could still hear what you were doing, but then the feedback.
I have to say goodbye. I've done something wrong. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Don. That was Don Hagelberg on World Poetry Open Mic, rocking it as only Don can.
Man, he's
on the next evolution in poetry radio.
He's so good, man. Every time he calls in, he just brings something.
Even unintentionally, he just throws the art down, and I'm like, literally, JT looks over at me, and I'm bugging out going, holy crap. I once listened to a Pink Floyd album like that at one point in time.
Yeah?
While, shall we say, overprepared for it. And it was very intense.
Okay.
So basically the story you just told was, one time I took this and listened to this album. It was cool. Is that basically what the story you just told?
Well, long and short of it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good story.
All right.
All right.
Are you doing a?
I will submit the hell out of this.
All right. We got a submission.
Yeah, we do.
Someone has submitted to our show again.
I can't believe they made the same mistake twice.
All right. So, oh, see, that's not the one I wanted to do. I've got to respond to that. So we get all kinds of different emails, and they come together in a chain. So here's one from a longtime friend of the show, Mr. Steve Junke. And this is called Walking Alone in the Dark. This one's for all the old K-Niners out there. I hope you enjoy it. Dark comes, and it's just the two of you. One talking, and the other only listening. A one-way conversation, both knowing what to do. Walking alone in the dark. Even though one does not speak, each know what they are thinking. Threats of all types they seek. Walking alone in the dark. Making you feel secure and safe, he rubs your leg with his face. You place him in a great faith, walking alone in the dark. You stroke his head with your hand, that great, wonderful canine dog. With you and you alone, he will make a stand, walking alone in the dark. Both knowing what to do in danger, he is your security as you are his. Beyond being each other's protector, walking alone in the dark. There are others that you guard. They know not that you are there, only that from them the enemy is barred, walking alone in the dark. Sleeping safe as you keep watch, those unsung heroes and their dogs, men and their canine are all top-notch, walking alone in the dark. And that actually was from Edwin J. Smith, the old cowboy poet. That was sent in by Steve Junkin.
Nice. Very well done.
So, you want to just let it out? Let it out, man. Just go ahead and laugh.
No. I'm
the moment you say something about stroking in the hand, he's like, thinks back to the alleyway and just starts laughing.
Wow.
Wow.
Really? Poetic monuments, man.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
That was funny, though.
I'm sitting here reading this heavy thing, and you're sitting there like... You're not only are you laughing, but you're laughing like until you pay attention to the fact I am laughing. No, I will really not stop laughing.
I really tried to turn my head and get away from you to where you
He
were.
Did cover his mouth.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard time, man.
No, you're fine.
That was a great piece, though.
It was.
I was like, it was. No, seriously, I was listening to it, but I'm like, is this an After Dark poem or is this not an After Dark poem? For just a moment, and I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
And then the fact that I thought it was an After Dark poem is what got me laughing. But we're still not in After Dark.
No, we are not.
That's because it's time for the return engagement.
Engagement.
I have a dream of a return engagement.
Engagement.
All right, so now is the time to call. If you've called the show, or if you haven't and you still want to share, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or as always, you can use Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's fill up those phone lines. That's right. Do as we say, not as we do. We do have nine, and I said nine, great callers lined up for the return engagement. Let's just... get right into the poetry. Please welcome caller number one, all the way from the poetry state. He is Dennis.
Hello, is this the return engagement?
It is the return engagement.
Good, then I'm in the right place.
Beautiful.
All right, let's get this party started. I have a second poem to share with you this evening.
Awesome.
It is also by Raj Kumar. The title is Journey Within, in line with Maya Angelou. Love steps on sandy beaches, washed away by waves like childhood dreams. Yet dreams were woven in eyes, like an eyeliner diluted with tears. Summer months dry up life. Spring came and bade adieu. Winter weaves a fog liner. Matured love hides no pangs to eternity's flows through the Milky Way. morning, evening. I walk down the bay in setting sun's glow, searching lost footsteps, a journey within to you, eternity. End of poem, a poem by Raj Kumar of Calcutta, India.
You from Raj tonight. Very well done, my friend.
Well, I try to do his work justice. I know he writes poetry from his original tongue, but as a second language, and I appreciate what he writes, and I like sharing it with you.
Awesome. I write poetry in English as a foreign language too, but that's only because of disabilities I have.
Yes, well, I got to respect that kind of work, and I wouldn't be able to do that, I don't think. But
I don't think so
either. I appreciate being allowed to read a second time and being on the show and everything you do for us poets. It is appreciated, and we will keep that in mind, that you guys are wonderful.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
I am so looking forward to meeting you at the end of the summer, my friend.
Yes, yes, it's going to be a wonderful face-to-face meeting, and it's about time. That's all I can say.
Yes.
We may shock each other, but that's okay, too.
That's all right. When you get that much electricity in a room, of course.
All right. It's going to be all good, and we're really looking forward to it. But I'm going to sign off right now and say God bless.
God bless, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. That, you know, Dennis thinks us, he's great about doing that, but I have to say, without all these great callers calling our show would really cease to exist. We would not even need to be here.
Very true.
So the artwork that you guys share is doubly important to our show. And
absolutely.
I thank each and every one of you for doing that. And I'd like to thank personally right now on the line, Boston, for sharing her work with us as well. Boston, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello. Wow, you sound crystal clear.
Awesome.
So.
I'm
trying to remind you, this is Return Engagement Not After Dark, so we have to remain clean for this one.
I was just trying to shut off the volume. I finally got it.
You know, I'm used to that. Everybody shuts off the volume when I'm speaking.
No.
It's all good.
It's like it's not working. You know what's so funny is I'm so excited about reading is I forgot to eat.
What?
So I think my blood sugar is like dropping. And then Dennis is on and the microwave is going bing, bing, bing. I'm like running over to the kitchen. But anyway.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Anyway.
So are you going to get the snack between this and the After Dark cigarette?
Yeah, I will. I have to because honestly, I can feel myself crashing. But anyway. Sure. This poem or this piece was, the prompt was to begin the last word of the first sentence was the beginning of the next sentence. So I call the continuum.
Okay.
And that day I sat on the beach and I actually took a picture and everything. Whenever I do things, I never know what I'm doing. Like today I wrote a piece and didn't realize that everything was connected metaphorically and it just kind of happens that way. So this piece, I just started with the word passion and then it flowed. And in the middle of it, it's a spiritual piece and I didn't even know it was happening, so it's pretty cool. So it's called Continuum. Passion bites deep, deep through the cord existence. Existence banked spiritual awakening. Awakening fevered cynical boils. Boils a tempestuous invitation. Invitation of a refuted celebration. Celebration serves darkness prisoners. Prisoners beheld their demise. Demise instrumental in rendering the bittersweet sense of divisional understanding life begins when you decide to take a breath came how, from who marked the marrow of your deep configuration has no meaning that you don't exist within borrowed time, Time is but an essence escaped. Escaped the eternity of freedom's living. Living or closed in dying. Dying to know your creator. Creator who died to know you. You only, you alone, only wandered. Wandered within the valleys. Valleys that shade your prison. Prison of blanketed seas. Seas swallow the tide of time. Time deteriorates the elements. Elements require the breath of life. Life bites passion deep. End poem.
Great poem. I would, the only suggestion I would have for that is drop the word deep. That way passion starts the poem and ends the poem, and it ends up in as a big loop.
Bites passion. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just kind of cool. That's the only critique I would have for it. Yeah. Great poem. Great. Well written. I loved it.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah.
And honestly, I started it at the beach, and then I took a snapshot, and the picture I took was like the perfect tide. On the way to the gym, I wrote the last part and just put it on the draft and didn't know anything about where it was. And I thought it would end with the creator. And then when I looked at it, it was like it made complete sense. And I didn't realize that it did until I went to separate everything out and thought, wow, pretty cool.
I've done that before, but I've done it with like entire sheets. I once wrote, it started out as an 8-page poem, and then I wrote a page in between two pages. I ended up with a 12-page poem slipping pages in between different ones. It was very weird how it came together.
Isn't it? It is kind of weird, but yeah, that's cool. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And I went ahead and edited it.
You should post it on the World Poetry Open Mic Friends page where people can see how each line ends with the previous word.
Yeah, I shall do that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That was Boston on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice. That was great. I like that kind of creativity. I like all creativity. I'll just say that. You know, it can be sculptures. It can be paintings. It can be poetry, music. Just get out there and do something with your life. And I'm lecturing myself more than anything, really. All right, so next up we've got from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Most days, indeed.
Most days you are Philip, other than Saturday nights when you're Sarah at the club.
And thank you for all the cash that you've given me for playing that role, sir.
He's a big supporter of Sarah.
I'm a big supporter of Sarah and her G-string.
I don't know if anybody wants to envision me in a G-string, but...
It's okay. That G-string's putting itself through college.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Aren't they always, you know? I tell you. I will try to get to it and get out of the way so we can have the After Dark segment.
And then we can embrace our inner 13-year-olds, yes.
Yeah, right. And I'll try to be brief, but I do want to just, you know, if you don't mind me, if you can indulge me for a moment... you know, I give inscriptions to poems, and yeah, I think in this one I'm trying to posit some kind of notion that at some point in your thinking, you know, the theoretical becomes just as real as what we call reality. I don't know if that's even possible, but in many ways I think it is. I'm probably borrowing from Plato's Forms. So at any rate, that's what I'm trying to intend with the inscription. So here it goes. Preamble for an age that will someday store holographic memories in light, slowed at a rate comparable to one's calm breath. And the inscription reads, if the area of the circle be 140,000 square miles, then RD is greater than the true length by about an inch. From Srinivasa Ramanujan's proof on squaring the circle. And here we go. One, time eludes me now, the way hallucinated fractals divide endlessly into infinitesimal units uncountable on all hands ever born, or those that may be will become, whether peasant or scion. The past forgiven, tomorrow meaningless as dirty cash scattered like confetti or shrapnel. Common litter obscenely greener than innocence. Two, Everything voiced as the truth by anyone younger than the sun, I doubt. This inquisitive faith borne upon the backs of enigma and all, unsullied by my wine-dregged mouth, red as women's tight-lipped secrecy, anticipating discovery. Merely an emboldened soliloquy, standing humpbacked though stout, this worldly masculine comportment, draped in fine raiments, stitched with simple iambs, tailored from the Beatitudes. 3. I've witnessed where sorrow fled, somewhere beyond ramparts of light, silently afar on the other side of petty harangues and tumults, cresting delta anger and wrath, when hermeneutically examined, reveals less than vanity. And there it is, fellers.
Love your work, always. Well done, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jay Todd, and I look forward to the After Dark segment.
Who doesn't? It's
absolutely
the highlight of my month.
We That's need to get great. You a better month, man.
I know. I know I do.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. I do need a better month. After Dark is the highlight of my month.
Yeah, no kidding, man. What's your problem? What is your problem, man?
I have no problem. I have no problem because we have a legend on the phone line.
Yeah.
She's the host of Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages. She is Barbara Arantrue. Maybe she's on the line. Barbara. Are you hyperventilating or were you laughing?
Never been described as a legend before, and having to go after Philip is really, really discomforting. But
I can think of a lot of adjectives to describe going after Philip. Discomforting is the very least of them. But yes, okay.
No, Philip and I are really, really good friends. But having to go after him in a poetry sense is just like, oh my God.
No, you'll be fine.
Anyway, I actually was able to, and I don't know why I was able to, but I was able to write two poems during your program. I don't
two
know what
poems
that
during
means.
Our program. That's what I call epic penning there.
Yes, and one is actually After Dark, so it's kind of amazing that I was able to do that.
Well, After Dark's not that hard. You know, there's always the lady that was from Wheeling and the guy from Nantucket.
Really? You think I write things
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that?
I've been waiting to share one of my own poems. Every time I try an After Dark poem, it starts with "There once was a man from Nantucket."
There you go.
And I met someone from Nantucket, and it didn't live up to the expectations.
No, never does. What do you got for us this time, Barbara?
Okay, it's called "What Am I Missing?" And this sort of floated around in my head for a long time, and it's kind of inspired by those hotel commercials where there's a couple and they're doing stuff together and they're so happy together, and then in the end they go into a room together, you know, it's just, everything is just so nice together. And it's called "What Am I Missing?" When you have had it, you will know what I mean. When I say an indescribable feeling is gone from my life, that moment when you look into someone's eyes and see the knowledge you and he are together in thought and feeling, as if you were sinking into a comfortable sofa together at the same time. The feeling of being content with the moment, for you need nothing else but the other's presence. And you are a couple in everything, enjoying the same things and enjoying each other in this enjoyment. Call it a circle of contentment, for it starts with the idea and moves through the feeling and finally ends in the action and continues with joy as each action brings another one, gathering the experience experiences together into a ball living inside of you. The circle begun and continued on the moment we met. It's the beginning, middle, and end of the us, and is what I miss the most. Amorphous and full of angst, the circle is broken. No one to take its place, each moment unframed, for there is no one with whom to share each idea, and no one to enjoy what you love, and especially no one to watch enjoying as you enjoy. No longer am I a spectator of your joy, taking sideways glances as we experience the moment and sharing afterwards, seeing your eyes alight in the aftermath of our sharing. End poem.
What the? You wrote that during the show?
Yes.
Holy cow. Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you have nothing to worry about following Philip. You do just fine on your own.
No, it's just, you know, Philip is so erudite, and I always feel I should try and write an erudite poem, you know, just to see if I could. And, you know, I just, he has so much that he brings into poetry, and mine are so, I guess, plain.
No, don't say yours are plain. Each writer has their own specific style, their own voice that it's in. I wouldn't have you write any other way, Barbara.
This is all I can write.
Mine comes across very redneck to some people. That's just the person that I am. And there are people that like you for who you are.
I know a lot of people do. I do. And when I read my poems, I say, you know, that's great that they like them. Because sometimes, like, I just, you know, they come. That's it. And
like a tidal wave of words,
exactly,
hitting the page.
Like,
yes.
Like a tidal wave of words. They flow into me. And, you know, they'll rattle around for a while and then kind of, you know, come out like that, as if they must sometimes. So your show is a really good, you know, way of pushing me to write. Because I never would have written, I don't think, this weekend, because, you know. Yeah. But it's great, and thank you for the opportunity, always.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
And I will be back, because I did write an After Dark poem, too.
Then we'll talk to you real soon.
Great. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Barbara.
Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was
bye-bye.
Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice. See, I can't see Barbara being a Philip, but I can see her being a damn good Barbara. And I can, you know,
and you can't see Barbara being a Sarah.
I can't,
I mean,
see
you
Philip
can see
being a Barbara.
Yeah, Philip can be a Sarah. He can be a Barbara, or as he was the other night, he was Mystical Crystal.
Ooh,
they had a theme night.
Yes,
it was Caribbean night. But you know, Philip is a shapeshifter. Barbara, you got to be who you are.
Exactly.
I think that's really the answer. Don't be a Sarah.
Just don't be a Sarah. There you go. All right. So we do have another caller on the line. Please welcome all the way from Missouri for his third phone call, second appearance, Sinister.
Yeah, I'm back.
Awesome. Yeah. Keeping score over here.
Yeah, I got a little short one to do for you so we can get on to the next segment. Not that one. I got too many things open. All right. It is called Death of a Hypothesis. Actually, it came from a quote, just I believe is my own. Randomly came from me on a little trip I took. And the quote is, poetry is... Never mind. I don't remember it now. All right, I fondle obscurity with my hands, molding liquescent parallels of sound, orchestrating melodic insolent acts, yellowed again by tobacco sweat. I embellish the mundane with scenery, maugre attempts at retaining romanticism, lend cephalic reasons for extending my keyboard from the mainframe, just as poetry is flagrant death of the day today. End poem. That's it. Actually, short one for me.
That one one was so short.
Poetry is off guard. The embellishment of the mundane. That's the quote. Sorry, I couldn't remember it at the time.
The embellishment of the mundane?
Poetry is the embellishment of the mundane. Yeah.
I can see that. Who's that a quote by?
Yeah. I'm not always, but, you know, a lot of times it is. And I don't know. Just, as I said, I was on a little trip when it came to me, and it was like the only good thing about the whole trip. I was like, cool, and that poem kind of spurred out of it. So
that's awesome. I've had poetry spurned by trips. I've had poetry happen during trips. You know, whatever it takes to get you to write, that's what I'm about, creation.
Yeah, it's usually afterwards and reflection that I do that. You know,
are we talking about trips in the same sense? No, we're not.
That's awesome. Maybe I'll read that next one.
There you go.
We take it wherever we can, right? Always go further.
Right on.
All right, gentlemen. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. That was Sinister Spittle on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. I was having a very vivid picture painted for me. I thought we were talking road trips. No. All right, whatever. Onward with the show. Please welcome from Illinois. She is Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, welcome back to our show.
Thanks.
All right, you're going to want to turn down your listening device.
I did.
Awesome. I heard myself in the background. I was like, that's weird.
It took me a minute.
That's all right. So, what do you have for our return engagement tonight?
I think I'm going to do something called School of Murder, if I can read it with a straight face after Philip's little comment about he just had it cured.
I know. There's been a lot of wordplay going on tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Words within words.
Yes. So now
it's a little dark.
Don't mind dark. I like dark.
Okay. It's a little dark. I like dark. I write a lot of dark. It's called School of Murder. Nightgown streaking upward in filmy white flight. A hint of the sun's fire winks briefly through hair, dish-whipped in disarray, against bent shoulders' burdens. The night she wears is a shield against the pearly silk of innocence, transparent in daylight. Darkness croons a bittersweet lullaby as bare toes curl over the edge of a cliff. A pause to hear the promise of eternal rest, lying at the bottom of the abyss. And they'll call it suicide. But I saw the lily-white hand of education fondle an illusion of worthlessness, the bust of Hitler revealed as it closed into a fist of abusive authority butchering children. Trusting blue eyes follow the finger that points down a wasted path of debris as it drags and pulls its barefooted prey, battered and bruised until she refuses to move, and they'll call it suicide. Stubbed toes cling over the edge of the precipice. The virginal hand shoves the final push. A wisp of white wings soar on the night, a fraction of time and unfettered freedom before the rush of the downward fall. The unburied grave of the unholy extends its greeting in a crash of broken bones, shattered like dreams. And they called it suicide.
That one gets close to home with me. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Cindy from Illinois on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. Wow. I like how the vibe changes from caller to caller on the show. It's this roller coaster, if you will, of different voices. Wow. All right. So we're going to go from Illinois on up to Canada. Please welcome Lozanne.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to our show.
You should say hello again.
Hello again.
Yes. So this poem is called, title as Go Back to Where You Came From.
All right.
So should I start?
Now is the time.
He shouted, go back where you came from. Get back on the boat. I cannot, I said. Where I come from? They marry me to a man as old as my grandfather. They stone me to death for being in love. They drag me through streets till I die because I'm not heterosexual. They ostracize me for being of different faith. They hack me with machetes in the street for not believing in their God. I cannot go back to where I came from because they behead me for refusing to join their religion. They gang rape me for a debt my family cannot pay. They shoot me while I'm on the bus because they don't want girls to go to school. They make me work at age 5. They humiliate me publicly and torture me for being born third gender. Where I come from, they assassinate me for standing up for women's rights. They publicly flog me hundreds of times for speaking online about freedom of belief. They dismember my body for not wearing religious garment. They cut off my hand for stealing food to feed my hungry family. They force me to join their army or be killed. Where I come from, they buy and sell me like a property. I'm a sex slave. They chain and imprison me just because I'm a girl. They do not let me speak my mind. They do not let me be free. They won't let me be a child. I cannot go back. Because I am deformed from birth, I just sit on sidewalks and beg for my daily bread. The bombs disabled me. The fear paralyzed me. Chemical weapon blinded me. Shouting made me mute. The fires burn my flesh alive. I am deaf from the sounds of bombs and bullets, explosions and guns, mortar shells, airstrike, and. I cannot go back where I came from. Because where I came from, the war is never stopping. Because it's profiting weapon makers. I cannot go back on the boat. Because it sank, and with it sank my family, my hope, my dreams, my aspiration for future, my dreams of peace. I can't go back where I come from, you see, but you can. You can go back to being tolerant of others, go back having empathy and compassion. You can go back to the time before you are taught to hate. End of poem.
Very well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show.
No worries. I'm rapidly becoming a fan of your work. I hope to hear from you either during the After Dark segment or during next week's show.
Oh, that's today or is that the same night?
We're doing an After Dark segment, which is more, shall we say, adult poetry.
Okay.
Which really we all act like a bunch of 13-year-olds. So, okay. But other than that,
we call it adult poetry, but somehow we act like we're teenagers. Yeah.
Oh my God. I have no idea what that feels like. I'm very young. I'm way younger.
Oh, well, then,
there you go.
Then you wouldn't understand, but it's worthwhile.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Lozanne.
Goodbye.
That was Lozanne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. I'm so glad she found her way through to our show. That's great.
Yeah, you know what else I think is great? I'm going to say this, and I'm not being sarcastic here. Your positive attitude.
Really?
Yeah, I really think so. You're just incredibly positive and encouraging of everyone, and I'm over here being all, you know, sarcastic and dark and existential, and you're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know what it is? Lightning strikes negative poles. And I've been struck by lightning, and therefore all the current in me changed to positive, and my attitude has changed since. Okay, so it doesn't work.
I was going to say, I that sounds like a bunch of horse crap, but...
Except for the being struck by lightning thing, yes, it is all a bunch of horse crap.
No, so. Not the being struck by lightning thing. I believe
that's
that happened.
True.
That, have you ever seen the movie Pure Luck with Martin Short? That is kind of a riff on J. Todd.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So we do have another caller, this one from California. Please welcome Don.
This one from California.
Don, are you with us?
Yes, and I think I corrected the echo.
Hey, it sounds like you did.
You did.
Does. Yeah.
You did. Good, yeah. You did very well, Don.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, no. Welcome.
This poem I'm going to do is titled, If You're Not My Priest, Don't Listen. The reflection of her wedding ring bounces off my forehead like a golden wasp. Her dress drops from her shoulders to her toes in shades of grass, which slowly grow into my eyes like a meal's memory. Do not cut that upon which I nibble, like a bull in a fenced-off graveyard. Let me taste the sharpness. Let this bull brood around the beautiful cow. Christmas now, 1977. Inglakiria sings and keeps the beat of her song in a curl exploding. Oppas! She forms Greek. Her lips untouchable move behind the Santori's bed of strings. Her voice drowns me in notes of honey. I die among those requesting an audience. End of poem.
Very well done, Don. Love you. Love you the work. Love the fact that you contribute to our show. You're crystal clear when you call in on Skype. Amazing.
Yes, I have to remember.
Who can't. Just kidding.
Philosopher.
That's the best word to repeat over and over again. There's a lot
good
of
night. Good night and laugh well.
Thank you. Good night. We'll talk to you soon, Don.
Bye-bye.
That was Don on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Of all the words to say over and over. Philosopher. Just sitting by yourself. Hear me back.
Philosopher.
Velociraptor? See, no, but you can see how Velociraptor comes out of the word philosopher. That's what I've always said.
It's a direct derivative of it.
Mm-hmm. Velociraptor.
So.
Well, that was so weird. Okay.
A Velociraptor.
And so that means that the creature down in Australia is a platypus?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, not at all. Not a platypus. No.
All right. So
it's a platypus.
Platypus. Sorry.
Okay.
We do have one last caller in our return engagement. Please welcome from Texas. She is Juanita.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm a little tired, but.
You're telling me. I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a piece called The Poet's Seat.
All right.
I hear the breeze and leaves sweet song, a soothing lullaby, Peter dance the starlight sky, the spirit of what is and was, speak now. Words that touch the heart of all, that surrounds the light and the darkness. I imagined things and saw and dreamed, an eloquent fountain, spewing rainbow-colored water, cleansing my soul, my heart most fluid, scribing words that flowed freely like pulsating blood. Timeless pieces that spoke through the glass of endless time, words that echoed a collective memory in a long-forgotten journey that has passed without notice. I linger lovingly in life's quiet moments, exposing the flower's innermost function, beauty, and strength. Listening, taking life in like a breath of spring, giving air to a dying lung. Gasping for life, I live. I am no different than you, seeking that which has yet to be revealed. If only our minds be still, if only our eyes closed to expose the heart's bidding. I listen now as time races before my eyes. Where are we at? Okay, I listen now as time races before my eyes. I have to find something tangible in the universe, in the air, in the dirt, in the oceans and the mountains, in the valleys. In darkness, I seek to find the light within, and peace, sweet peace, I have found. The end.
Very well done, Juanita. Thank you for calling and sharing with our show on such a regular basis. I enjoyed the fact that you call us. And
thank you very much.
Hope to hear from you again soon.
Have a good night. Okay, bye-bye.
That was Juanita on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
I don't think she's having any of your stuff there, man.
My filling her ego up.
Yeah, you're like, man, thank you so much for coming. She's like, yep, great. See you later. No, yeah. Just...
That's pretty much it.
She's like, I don't want any of your crap, J. Todd Underhill.
A direct quote from my wife, too.
You know, yeah, honestly.
I've heard it a few times.
I was going to say, would there be a wife of anybody on this crew that hasn't said that?
Yeah, sure.
I don't have a wife, so I haven't said that.
Well, but still.
But your ex-wife probably said it at one point in time. I've had enough of your crap, Michael.
Actually, she never said that specifically, but...
Close to it?
I'm resisting the urge to say something incredibly dark and biting.
All right, thank
Let's
you.
Just move on.
We'll move on. I did write a patriotic poem of my own this week. This is simply entitled Land of the Free. What does old glory mean to me? Lucky enough to be born in the land of the free, winner of the birthright lottery. It means happiness through and through, something to which each day I pursue in everything I touch or do. But comes with responsibility, examples set out for all to see in helping others to be free, lending a hand, helping others up, letting them drink from liberty's cup, not letting evildoers interrupt. It also means preserving our rights through court of law or vicious fights, one of this poet's greatest plights. It means freedom of speech and open thought, something through spoken word is openly sought, in the craft I have learned and also taught. It means honest work for honest pay, though at times that has gone astray, enjoying my time at the end of the day. Reminding of these things when our banner flies, such a beautiful sight for these tired old eyes, knowing that I am the luckiest of guys. Thank you. And that'll do it for World Poetry Open Mic proper. For Michael, JT, and myself, we want to say if you want the After Dark want to stay on for the After Dark segment, stay tuned. If you're easily offended, now would be the time that you would want to log out. If you have kids listening, usher them off to bed if you want to stay with us. We're going to go uncensored.
We're
going
to rise to the occasion.
But for now, we're going to say goodnight, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.